welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, again, good morning. Welcome. Praise God. God's already doing some good stuff this morning. I just trust you've been refreshed and encouraged, strengthened, and we're just going to go ahead and get right in now to the Word of God this morning. And we're going to start in a passage in Matthew as we're preparing our hearts for Christmas. We're going to take a look at some scriptures this morning, a little bit along those lines. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is really the account of the birth of Jesus. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." And again, this is our Christmas story, the one that we will be revisiting again here in just a few weeks as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, Christmas season. But as we look at this passage of Scripture, it's easy to kind of gloss over some things, and I think it's important this morning, what I would like to do is really take a closer look at some stuff here. You know, Matthew chapter 1:18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together," so this is just what we would call that season of engagement, "she was found with child of the Holy Spirit." All right, so Mary and Joseph originally got engaged. They didn't get engaged with the prospect of being the parents and raising up Jesus. That was not why they got engaged. They got engaged probably because they fell in love, or there was an arrangement, you know, with the parents and different things like that. Anyway, they were engaged. They had planned on getting married. And then in that time of engagement, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. In other words, you know, there's a few things. Joseph had a few options. Joseph had some big options under the law back then. This was a stoning offense, even though it was an engagement period. And Joseph didn't want to do that. He didn't want to make a public example and do all that kind of stuff at all. And the Bible calls him a just man because of that. That's interesting. He had legal options that he didn't choose to take, and the Bible commended him for that, his heart and his motive, his desire. And as he you know, as he was kind of deciding what he was going to do, he was going to put her away, he decided that in his heart. So think about this. Before Mary and Joseph came together, they didn't have a revelation from God at all about what was going to happen, what we've been celebrating for the last 2,000 years. They had no clue, just a normal, average couple getting ready to get married. So Joseph, thinking as a normal, average couple, normal, average situation, this is what I would do next under this circumstance. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son. He'll call his name Jesus. He'll save his people from their sins. Now, this is really interesting. You would think that it would be a little, it would have been easier for Joseph and Mary to, I mean, we know Mary also was getting another revelation from an angelic visitation as well, too. But at the same time, they didn't know this going into it. This is something that transpired after they made their commitment to each other. And this is something that I'm so glad that verse 19, the Bible doesn't leave out. Joseph didn't understand it. He didn't get it. He was going to do what he just thought was naturally was going to do. You know, it just didn't make sense. He thought, okay, you know, this is going to hurt. I care about Mary. I don't want to make a public disgrace or anything like that. But, and then God speaks to him. He's thinking about these things and God speaks to him. Joseph had a real wrestling match. There was a faith element here. And he heard the voice of God and he did the right thing. And we know, praise God, the rest of the story, it came to pass just as God had prophesied in earlier scriptures that it would, and Joseph did his part. But the thing that I'm so glad about the account of this is that the scripture does not leave out this backstory. And sometimes what you could call it was a little messy there for Joseph. It wasn't, like I said, it wasn't clean lines. You know, we are getting engaged because we have a call of God in our lives to help raise and parent the Son of God. They didn't know that. They got that news after the fact. It was a little messy because of that. Joseph didn't get it, but he got it. He got it in a dream, and he got straight, and he got on course. It's important to understand, as we're walking out our lives, as we're doing stuff for God, things may get a little messy at times. Things may not be just perfect, nice, clean, straight lines. I mean, Joseph had conflict. He was right in the middle of the will of God, and he had conflict. There was stuff he didn't know by design. And then he found out what he needed to know. And then he went on to do what he was called to do. But at the time, that had to be a very heart-wrenching, heart-aching experience for him. But at the same time, praise God, God got clear, God gave him the directions, and he was able to do what he needed to do. And I'm kind of reminded, too, of a story of one of my teachers at school kind of told off on himself, where sometimes when we're telling our story, as far as God's plan for our life, what God did in our life, we can leave out some of those details. You know, God, the Word of God promised me this, I said it, I did it, and God blessed me, and I've got it, and I got through, and I got the answer. Well, that's good, but a lot of times there's going to be a little bit of a backstory of some messiness that you don't always necessarily hear in testimony time. And this teacher was telling off on himself about how, you know, one time he had, you know, had a friend come over, and they were blessed with the car, and he was just amazed and impressed and said, wow, that's incredible, that's a beautiful car, and, you know, and our teacher said, Yep, absolutely. Believed for it. Got it with my faith. And he said, as soon as he said it, he knew it was wrong. And when his friend went away, he just went to the Lord in prayer and said, what about that, Lord? I did believe for it. I did, you know, get it with my faith. That's true. And God just began to deal with him. He said, yeah, and who made the provision for that blessing for you in the Word? He said, well, you did. And who gave you revelation that you could have your needs met according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus? I said, well, you gave me the revelation of that. And who encouraged you to step out in faith and ask and trust? You did. And when you wanted to give up, who was encouraging you to stay with it? And when you did give up, who picked you back up to keep trusting? He'd have to say, you did. And he said, what do you tell that fella? He said, believed for it, got it with my faith. He said, son, you know, I put it in my Word. I gave you revelation on it. I helped you stand. I provided it for you. Seems like I might have ought to been in there somewhere. And it's a good truth. You know, when we hear things, we see things, and I say this because as we're walking by faith, we all hear things, we read about things, we see things on TV, and it can be like, wow, that's amazing, that's faith. My life is just so plain and ordinary, and it doesn't look anything like that. But there's a backstory. A lot of times there's a lot of little messy pieces in a person's backstory of faith, okay? I love a certain proverb that, you know, and I'm glad too, even in this account. You know, God didn't just give us this, he gave us this. He didn't just say, yes, Mary and Joseph, you know, Joseph, you know, didn't know her until they brought forth the firstborn son, called him Jesus. They didn't just tell us it. No, they tell us about the backstory of Joseph. They tell us about the story about his struggle. He's ready to divorce. He's on the verge of it. That little piece and how God spoke to him and got him right back on track. I'm glad we don't get the unabridged. We get the abridged version. We get the unabridged version, the full version of it. And there's a great proverb that I just think of in conjunction with this sometimes too, is in terms of kind of some messiness here and there. There's a proverb that says, "Where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox." The easy to read says, "A barn with no cattle might be clean, but strong bulls are needed for a good harvest." The Living, I think I like the best. "An empty stable stays clean, but there's no income from an empty stable." In other words, yeah, the trough, you know, might have some stuff in it, but at the same time, you know, I'm actually, you know, there's some good stuff coming from it. I'm producing some stuff, you know. And so a lot of times in our life, things might be a little messy, but it's a productive messy. Things are getting done. I'm going for God. I can see what God wants me to do, and it's just kind of everyday, ordinary, average looking life. And it can kind of seem a little messy, sloppy, but it's a good messy. It's a productive messy. We're going somewhere with this. And so this morning, we're going to take a little walk with Mary and Joseph. And the title of the message this morning is Mary and Joseph and Messy Faith. Now, you'd think if anybody would get a pass from the grungy inconveniences of life, it might be Mary and Joseph for the task that they've been given. But you're going to see they didn't. They had to go through the same stuff we go through in fulfilling the good works God's called us to walk into. There is going to be this element of messiness that we experience. And so, as we look at the scripture this morning, look at just a few things here, I want to just walk through what we might call the Christmas story and just see how God amazingly came through every time for Mary and Joseph, but it wasn't always pretty. Let's start out with messy provision faith, all right? We call it messy provision faith. Luke chapter 2, it says, "It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child." This is a really fascinating passage of Scripture here, because, you know, when we don't see, as we're looking at this passage of Scripture, we don't see Joseph already in Bethlehem trying to fulfill the prophecy, okay? We just see Joseph still hanging out in Nazareth. But, I mean, he's a good Jewish man, and he knows the prophecies too. He knows that the Savior is going to be born in Bethlehem, but he's still in Nazareth. Why? Because God didn't tell him to go to Bethlehem. And he knows the voice of God. God, what did God tell him? Through the angel. He said, "Mary, what's conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. It's right. Take to her. Don't be afraid to take to her to yourself as your wife." And he's going to be the Savior of the world. He's going to save the people from their sins. But he didn't say, "And go to Bethlehem." He didn't say that. So he's hanging out in Nazareth. He might have even been thinking, I'm doing what God's told me to do. And I know in this big picture, this big plan,
that Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem. I wonder how that's going to happen. And then he gets the knock on the door. Got a decree. Joseph, you got to get back to Bethlehem. Census is going to be taken. He's probably thinking, oh, cool. That's how it's unfolding. Joseph was a faithful guy in the sense that he wasn't trying to perform what God had promised. He was just doing what God told him to do. And this is really inspiring for me, for all of us. Whatever God's plan for your life is, you know, in one sense, wow, it's exciting, this big plan that God has for my life. Yeah, that's great. But on the other hand, you know, big deal. I'm just going to relax and just do what God told me to do next. I'm not going to try to bring it to pass. I'm not going to try to force things. And you'll see in the Old Testament, a lot of times when people would have a promise, they'd try to force things and make things come to pass that God had promised, they'd get into trouble. But Joseph was able to hang back and let things unfold and simply do what God told him to do. He was able to wait, be patient. And as the story continues, it says, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her, Mary, to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And again, wow, this is one of those concepts. We've kind of heard the stories, seen the plays, the different things, the profundity of the Son of God having to be born in a barn. You know, who he was being born in the lowliest place. But if we can kind of go back and put ourselves in Mary and Joseph's shoes at the time, you know, here they are. They know their call. They know their commission. They're there. They're in Bethlehem. They're doing what God has told them to do. And, you know, Mary's water is broken, and they can't get in the inn. They tried, and they were refused. I mean, that'd be the closest thing we'd have to a hospital, I guess, in terms of resources and different things like that. And that would be a very anxious thing. And, I mean, if you're, again, let's just kind of bring it home to us. You know, you're doing what you know God's called you to do. You're doing, as far as you know, what God's called you to do. Why can't things just be easy? I don't need provision drama right now. The water's broke, and we need help right now. And we're Mary and Joseph, and this is the Son of God, John 3:16 stuff. You would think, wow, if anybody should get a pass here, we should. Why does our faith have to be messy? You know, and yeah, there's good works he's called you to walk in, and they're really him, but there sometimes you're going to find yourself, just why can't it be easy? Why do I feel like I'm taking the long way around and just, it doesn't mean it's not God. I mean, Mary and Joseph, they're just doing what, they tried to get in the inn. They did their due diligence, and they couldn't, and there was a plan B. But praise God, they didn't give up. They kept going. You know, you can feel that way, and there is a temptation to want to give up. I'm reminded sometimes of that, those of you who have parents with young children and have seen Finding Nemo, just keep swimming. You're gonna find something in you saying, just keep going, don't give up. There's a great song I love that's, you know, songs, hymns, spiritual songs. This is like a spiritual song that inspires me in some of those inflections point. The chorus just goes, where there is faith, there's a voice calling, keep walking. You're not alone in this world. Where there is faith, there's a peace like a child sleeping, hope everlasting in he who's able to bear every burden, to heal every hurt in my heart. It's a wonderful, powerful place where there is faith. And it's the messy faith that's going to cause you to just keep going. This really seems sloppy and messy, and I know where I want to get to, and you know, if things are delayed, and it doesn't seem like I got what I need or the favor that I need. I mean, they did not have in favor at the time. And so they could think, wow, did we miss God? If we were really on with God, we should have in favor right now. They had favor. They had to just keep walking. It was messy, but God got them to where he wanted them to be. and it might not have looked pretty. I'm so glad God tells us this little backstory stuff to let us know as we're walking out the good works. Things may get sloppy. Things may get messy at times. Sometimes things will be sloppy and messy too, not just because you don't always know what to do next, but sometimes things get sloppy and messy when you do know what to do next, or you have a prompting on the inside and you're hoping it's not God. Because it's going to require some faith and humility. And it's like, oh, and you push it down, and you push it down, and you push it down, and you keep trying things and keep trying things, and things that get messy and messy. I had this when Julie and I went to Rhema our first year. We made the big move, you know? Made the big move. We were there at Rhema, and we still have the picture in our student housing. We're on the floor, and I've got a smile on my face, and I'm pointing to a pile of change in the carpet, and I'm pointing up, you know? So that's all the money we had, change. Just knowing that God was going to make a way some way. And I think I shared with you a few weeks ago, too, some of those grungy jobs that I kind of got was that cold calling, carpet cleaning job was one of the first ones I got. And I'm just trying to find anything to be able to pay the rent and pay the bills. And, you know, that was July that we landed there. And, you know, by the time we got our jobs, our very low-paying entry-level jobs, we had just enough money really to, you know, to just pay the rent and pay the bills. And I didn't have all the tuition money saved up. And I really didn't have that down payment, you know, that I needed to get in. And I just right away, I can remember it wasn't even long after I got there. I had a very distinct prompting. Call your previous boss, call Jerry, and just explain to him you need a loan, you know, like a loan that you can and that you can pay it back, you know, shortly. And I thought, because you'll have the funds to be able to pay it back. And I thought, I got that early, and I pushed it down and said, no, that can't be God. My kind of faith, my testimony isn't going to look like that. That's not faith. Asking somebody, you know, humiliating, just it's the last thing. No. I'm not going to be asking anybody for anything. That's not faith. That's not trusting God. But here's the difference. I got a very distinct prompting by the Holy Spirit to do that. I could see myself doing it very clear. So I pushed it down. And, you know, we kind of did our deal. And we kind of got to registration. And there it was. It was Tuesday. And we're standing in line, you know, just believing supernaturally maybe God somehow blessed us or put something in there or, you know, ready to register. And we get there, and there's nothing there, and we don't have anything. And I'm thinking, oh. And I knew immediately, and I got that distinct thought again. It wasn't the first time I had it. And I said, okay. And I called Jerry, and he was so happy to hear from me. Oh, no problem. Got it in the mail. This is not a thing at all. And I was, you know, it was like, why did I go through this faith fantasy thing all when I could have just obeyed that prompting and had peace? And said, no problem, I'll just throw it in the mail. It was a Tuesday again, like I said, and then Thursday was the, you know, Tuesday was registration day, and then Thursday was the final day to get all your funds in for school. If you didn't have it in by Thursday at 2, that's it. That was the cutoff time. And we were in student housing, which means we'd have to leave student housing as well. And he said, I can get it express mail. The fastest I can, it'll get it be 2 days. And I thought, that's all right. I can get it here by Tuesday or Thursday, I'll be good. And so that Thursday, because we were in student housing, we had to go to a student housing meeting where they went through all the rules of student housing. And so I'm in that meeting, and I just can't hardly wait to get out of that meeting, to get to the mailbox, to get the check, to get registered. And we get out of the meeting, I get back, and my mailbox has a little yellow sticky on it. Sorry we missed you. We'll redeliver tomorrow. And I'm thinking, no, I can't. That's not going to work. I can't deliver tomorrow. So I get out my phone book. We didn't have smartphones back in 89. And I had to call the post office and say, okay, where's your truck at? And I had to get in my car and just randomly drive up and down streets of where I thought that mail truck might be. And I was driving and praying and praying and driving and driving and praying. Should be in this vicinity. And after a while, I finally saw a truck pulled over, a mail truck. and I tracked it down, and I told him who I am, and I said, you had some mail for me, but you missed me, da-da-da-da-da, and he was in there. He had to deliver some packages. I had to wait, and finally he got there, and there it was, my envelope. But it had like a company check. And so I had to drive into Tulsa to my bank so I could cash it and get cash for the company check, which I had just opened a few days ago. So I'm fighting Tulsa traffic, you know, and time's a wasting, you know. It's like, you know, noon, 1 o'clock-ish now, and I got till 2. So now I've got they finally gave me the cash and they counted it out, and I'm in the car and I'm driving, and it's like, it's 1:30, and I got to be there by 2, and I got the cash in my hand. And I'm fighting Tulsa traffic on the way back, and I remember getting to the school, getting there, getting in the registration line, and with about 10 minutes to spare, I got my tuition paid. And that's how I got equipped to come up here and preach to you guys right now this morning. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I believe God for it, you know. There's some messy faith sometimes. Did God call me to Rhema? Yeah, he did. But, you know, if I would have just really in one place done what he told me to do in the first place, it didn't have to be as messy as it was. It turned out being messy, but you know what? You know, within a month, Jerry was paid back, everything like the Lord told me would be. And Jerry's heart was there. He was engaged. He was ready. It was like, you know, God prepares people ahead of time, but there will be a step of faith. And it's not, you know, it's when God is prompting you to do something and it keeps coming back and it keeps coming back. Yeah, that's a big deal. But it might require faith. It might require some humility. And it might be messy sometimes. But I'm so glad. I'm so thankful that even though it's messy and how that came to be, but I'll tell you, you know, the next years we had the money ready to go. The money was ready for our successive years. We had it all saved up and ready, and we were ready. Boy, that was like huge, high priority. But sometimes things are going to get a little messy. Sometimes, you know, you are going to be doing stuff, going in a direction, and you don't have the in faith like Mary and Joseph didn't have. Doesn't mean it's not God. You just keep going. You keep plugging. You keep saying, Lord, what do I do next? Praise God. There's provision faith. Sometimes that provision faith is messy, but praise God, it doesn't mean, again, that just because you don't see the money or things aren't coming through today, that it's not God. Keep going. Keep plugging away. Another kind of messy faith is messy direction faith. All right? A lot of times you're going to kind of get into some situations. We'll kind of see with Mary and Joseph here. It says in Matthew chapter 2, 9 through 12, when they heard the king had departed, this is the wise men. We just had the episode here where the wise men came and they gave, you know, Jesus gifts. We're going to see it right here. They came from the king. And so they're going to come and they're going to bless Jesus. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, for they departed, and they departed for their own country another way. Of course, we know that Herod's motives were bad. Herod told these guys, hey, search out the child. Let me know when you found him so I too can worship him. Well, we knew that wasn't the case. Herod was jealous of Jesus and wanted to destroy him because he didn't want to have to share his kingdom. And it goes on to say, now when they had departed, the wise men, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. And here again, we don't see, you know, Joseph wasn't trying to fulfill prophecy. He's just taking what he's got one day at a time with what he knows to do. I'm so glad Joseph was that way. And just waiting, you know, for the Lord to tell him what to do next. But here, if you kind of put yourself again in Mary and Joseph's place, You know, they just got done, Jesus just got done basically being worshiped and blessed. And at the closure of this what had to have been just an amazing moment, they get this warning by God. Okay, now Herod wants to destroy the child. You're going to get up and you're going to go. And they're going to go, I mean, it'd be going from like their hometown to a foreign country where nobody knows them with a very small child. And they're going to have to go quickly. That would be quite a request. You think we're right here, we're right in the will of God, and all of a sudden I'm going over there, a place I've never been to before, a place that's foreign. I mean, it could be like going from, I don't know what the, where in Egypt, but you think of Egypt was kind of the worldly society system of the day. You know, it'd be kind of probably going from little rural Bethlehem to, you know, possibly a pretty, very different culture than what they were used to. And when you kind of got that, I mean, arise, take the young child's mother, flee to Egypt. You know, it'd be like, you know, God telling you, you know, go to Canada, go to Mexico, go to another country, get out of here. Why? Because somebody wants to kill the child. And, you know, your first inclination could be, you know, Lord, you know, Jesus is the Son of God. He is your Son. I mean, after all, couldn't we just all stay here and you supernaturally protect us? That would be a lot more convenient than having to get up and get out of the country right now. To which God would say, I am supernaturally protecting you. Load your animals and go. It wasn't real convenient. It was messy to have to load up middle of the night, pack up, and go to another country. Can you imagine how upsetting that was probably to their cycle that they were just in? And it was messy, but it was God, and it was protecting them. And sometimes there might be seasons where you're kind of going, and all of a sudden it's like you're going off, and you know, you might just be going along a certain line, and God could just kind of call you to a little sub-season, to doing something on the side that at the time, you know, might be preparation for what he's called you to do long term. Or he might tell you to zigzag and do something, and you don't always know it, you don't always get it at the time, but sometimes as you're doing one thing, you're just obeying that prompting, it's helping you, it's protecting you. I love the story of Paul as they were kind of going through some messy faith, messy directional faith. This is the Apostle Paul on his second missionary journey. It says, now, when they had gone to Phrygia, this is Paul and his company, they'd gone to Phrygia in the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now here's the great Apostle Paul, missionary journeys, gospel, and he's trying to figure it out. You know, he was going, you know, to preach the word in Asia, wanted to, but it says they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. That means Paul and his company had packed up, mules and all, going in the direction of Asia Minor, and something happened where they got a check of the Holy Spirit, and they had to stop and say, wrong, I can't do that. The Holy Spirit doesn't want us to do that. And then they basically turned their camp around. They tried to go to Bithynia. Okay, it must be Bithynia. Oops, it's not Bithynia either. You know, at this point, when you're kind of getting direction and where am I going, it could be easy to say, wow, I guess if that wasn't it and I thought it might be it, then I must miss God. I got to stop. But there again, the Apostle Paul, he just kept swimming, swimming, swimming. He kept going, going, going. He kept going until he got the witness. And yeah, it looks a little messy. I don't know. It might have looked a little embarrassing. We tried at Asia Minor. Paul thinks it's Asia Minor. I guess it's not Asia Minor. It's Bithynia. Nope, I guess it's not Bithynia. Oh, Paul got a revelation in Macedonia. It's Macedonia. This is wonderful. It's very refreshing when you talk to people who are really led by the Spirit of God. It looks a lot like this. You are navigating. You're feeling things out. It's not a phony thing where you're always right the first time on every little impression. That's not, no. God is going to show you some things. He's going to put things in front of you, and you're going to have a feeling out process where you're going some directions, and you're sensing and you're perceiving things. And that direction is not convenient. It would have been a lot less messy for Paul to just get that dream the first time, right? And not have to mess with Asia Minor and Bithynia. But he didn't get it right away. God didn't give it to him right away. He let Paul go, but he forbid him to go where he didn't want him to go. But Paul was still going. He hadn't given up. He didn't throw in the towel. I thought that was God. It wasn't God. I can't hear from God. I give up. I'm not doing this anymore. If you've ever thought you heard from God and found out that that was not what God wanted you to do, join Paul. Join all of us. That should not be a point where you go, oh, I guess, what is it? It's pride. Pride wants everything to be clean, straight lines. God said, I did, it's done. Well, that might be the abridged version if you've got a testimony like that. But a lot of times God says, and you do the best you know, and you're kind of learning, and it's kind of almost like a microscope where things are just coming into focus more and more as you're kind of feeling it out and doing things and discerning things. Don't have a romantic idea about faith and following God. There's some messiness in it. I mean, again, Mary and Joseph, it probably wasn't really wonderful to Mary's nesting instincts to have to pitch up camp in the middle of the night and go to a foreign country till somebody dies so that you can come back so you'll be safe again. Well, you're God. Come on. That's my plan. Wow. Praise God. Well, there's grace for whatever he calls you to do too. That's the other key. Now, thank God Paul didn't go into Asia Minor. I mean, imagine the Spirit forbid him to go, and what if he would have just said, God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm going to go to Asia Minor no matter what. Might have stopped. Acts might have stopped with chapter 16. You know, you can make a case, but ultimately you got to follow what God's put in your heart. And yeah, it's going to be messy sometimes. You're going to have some things that, you know, you'd want to do. And, you know, Paul was even writing, and you read Paul's epistles, writing to the Thessalonians, said, man, we wanted to come to you time and again, but Satan hindered us. Well, come on, Paul, if you're a real man of God, Satan should have never hindered you. Nah. There's some things going on. There's stuff that we don't understand. And we have to follow him. We've got to follow his leadings. If God forbids you to go somewhere and you just don't have a peace, don't go. Don't wonder if it's theologically correct to go or not. Check the Spirit. Do you have the witness of the Spirit to go or not go? That's the bigger question. And so as they were going through, praise God, they ultimately got it, and that was right, and it was good. But you'll notice a lot of times there is a little bit of messiness. There is some things that that you might wonder about. And then finally, I just want to close with another final aspect of faith, and that's messy restoration faith. Messy restoration faith, you know? Getting things back right together. You have whole, things get broken up, and you want to restore things back. Again, we love a zap and just make it all better again. But a lot of times in really healthy restoration, there's going to be some messiness to it. All right? When he, Jesus, was 12 years old, they, Mary and Joseph, went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Wow. We've all lost things from time to time. We've lost our keys, our glasses, and even our phones. You have that sense of panic when you lost something. Could you imagine Mary and Joseph right here? They are a day's journey away from Jerusalem, and they can't find Jesus. They probably looked at each other and said, "We just lost the Son of God." The Savior of the world. Oopsie daisy. That's about the time you begin to question your call, you know. Really, God, you called us to do this? We've got to be the worst at this. I mean, Mary and Joseph, imagine the dialogue there. You got to remember, too, though, Jesus was the oldest, and they had four boys and at least two girls. So they probably had their hands full. There were probably a lot of little kids running around in that company as they were heading back, you know, and they just lost track. But man, it had to be, you know, a Home Alone moment times 1,000. Wow. Yes, Jesus, he's gone. We don't know where he is, and we are responsible for him. But praise God, they just kept swimming. They went back to Jerusalem. They kept going. They wanted to find Jesus, and as the story goes, now so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." You can tell they were rattled. They were, you know, probably didn't get a lot of sleep during those 3 days that they were looking for him. And then, Jesus said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was subject to them. But his mother Mary kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You know, this is quite another messy situation. You know, Mary and Joseph, they're going back from Jerusalem. They've got a bunch of kids. They're probably thinking, Jesus, he's 12, but he's the oldest. He's the Son of God. He's going to be fine. And all of a sudden, they realize, wow, nope, gone, lost. And they're responsible for him. That would be rough, no doubt about it. But they kept going. They kept searching. And when they found him, I just love what Jesus said. "Why did you seek me?" It's almost like you should have known that I would be here. He almost says it, almost kind of the way he says it. He said, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know?" It's almost like, didn't you know I'd be here? In fact, if you ever lose me again, this is where you can find me. It's so, what he says there is powerful. Have you ever lost Jesus? I have. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm not talking about not realizing that he's with you and he'll never leave you or forsake you, that he's in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. I know the theology, okay? But what I'm talking about is, have you ever lost that hand-in-hand, sweet, joy of the Lord fellowship with Jesus? You're still born again. You're still a Christian. You're still righteous in your spirit. You know, you're still in Christ. But you're just not enjoying that walk with him. You know? And it's like, God, I want to get back to you. I left you somewhere. You know? I lost track of you in the cares of life. Well, there's really good news when it comes to restoration faith. He's in the same place. He's always about his Father's business. He's in that place. He's in the place, what I like to call, he's always in the secret place. You can always find him. You can always get back. You can always restore that fellowship with him again. In other words, he's telling Mary and Joseph, look, it doesn't have to be a mystery how to find me. I'm right here. And, you know, over the course of 35 plus years of walking with the Lord, there's many times I've lost him. But every time I found him, he's in the same place. He's in that same place, that secret place that Jesus talks about. He says, And you, when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues on the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. He's just talking about religious, phony relationship stuff. He says, but you, when you pray, go into your room, shut your door, pray to the Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, don't use vain repetitions like the heathen do. They think they're going to be heard for their many words. In other words, he's saying, there's a place that you can always find me. You can just come back to that secret place. It's not showy. You're not going to score any points with people. It's not going to be redundant. It's not going to be a rat-tat-tat where you're going to wear yourself out. It's just going to be that center place of honesty. And I can think back to those times where I find him again. I just find him and it's messy. I'm going back and I'm just saying, oh God, help, help, help. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I've been stubborn. I've been selfish. I need grace. Help me, God. Help me, Lord. And it's not even that I'm probing for a feeling or I'm trying to feel something. I'm just wanting to be honest again. God, I don't want to be isolated by my thoughts. I want you in my thoughts again. I don't want to be afraid of you. I don't want to be afraid of your love. I want to trust you. Every time you come back to him, it'll sound different, it'll be different, but there's some common things that are true. There's humility, there's faith, there's a humbling of yourself, and he gives grace to the humble. You know, no matter where you are, how far off you feel like you strayed, he's in the same place. It is amazing. I'll go back to the Word, and I'll sense his presence in the Word. Songs, hymns, spiritual songs, he's there. His presence is there. He doesn't change. It doesn't have to be a creative new way to discover Jesus every time. He's in the same place. He doesn't change. Don't have to, again, try to find some creative angle that was different from last time. It's just he's in the Word. He's in the Spirit. He's in humility. He's in that secret place. Just go. It can be anywhere, anytime. He's there. He's there. He's there. Just that place where he's drawing you to be honest with yourself and with him and in that honesty. And it's incremental. You just start by faith trying to be honest. And then he helps you be a little bit more honest. And then he helps you to be a little bit more honest. And then all of a sudden you see a little bit more. And you can admit a little bit more. And you sense that grace and that peace. And he just takes you by the hand back into those green pastures and those still waters. And there you are again, lying down on your back. You're not even standing up anymore, just letting him minister to you. And it's like, okay, praise God. I found him. I remember sharing my testimony of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, trying to receive that. I mean, I was running around. I just got wore out trying to seek it. And I remember just getting back into a simple place of sweet fellowship with God and saying, God, this is all I want, that sweet fellowship with you. And in that place of sweet fellowship, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I had my cart before the horse. There is just nothing, nothing that compares with just being in fellowship with God. If you're there, I don't care if you're in jail and you're there. You know, I visit people that are in jail and they're there. And it's like, wow, praise God. And people that are not in jail and that are not there. And it's like, if I had to be one of those two people, I'd rather be in jail at a certain place where somebody is with God than be out on the outside, you know, in the prison that people are in their mind. I don't care in the natural what you're looking at. You can be free on the inside no matter where you're at. The biggest book of joy in the whole New Testament is Philippians. Paul in jail. And the joy of the Lord just flowing through him. It's not a circumstantial thing. It's just a place of fellowship with God. If you've lost your way, why did you seek me? Didn't you know I'd be here? It's a good reminder to us all. I know where he is. He's in the secret place. He's at that throne of grace. Praise God, and I can always find him, always come back. And yeah, it can be messy, but it's okay. Just start where you're at. Start by faith with a mess. Because a lot of times people say, I want this clean prayer. I want to be, you know, just dot every I. Don't. Just begin to bury your soul. Cast your cares upon him. He cares for you. Mary and Joseph and messy faith. There's messy provision faith. There's going to be times when you don't always have the in faith that you feel like you should have. Things aren't coming together. I'm doing God's plan. I'm doing his will. Again, why can't it just fall into place? Well, there's just going to be times that it doesn't, and that's okay. It's just a little messy. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep going. You'll be amazed at how glorious this is all going to look someday when we get to heaven and see the glory of just really sticking with God, just trusting God and not knowing. That faith pleases him. He's not doing it to torment us or play games with us, or he's doing things the way they need to be done. we're navigating a world of fallen spirits and fallen flesh and a lot of stuff going on down here. And he's doing the things that need to be done by a just and holy God. We trust him. We trust that he's guiding us, even when it looks messy at times. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning as we just take courage and hope this morning for Mary and Joseph as we watched them navigate the good work you've ordained them to walk in, to be part of raising the Son of God. Lord, and as we could see their struggles, even from before Jesus was born to when he was born to when he was a child, it's amazing how you were there with them every step of the way. There were times when they were probably misunderstood during the pregnancy, times that they were feeling like they didn't have the favor of provision or wondering if you were there, but you were there. You provided, you made a way where there was no way. You made that inn, praise God. You made that that barn, that stable available to them where they couldn't stay in the inn. We just thank you that they had the favor, they had the grace. Father, I pray for each one of us, whatever those provision needs are this morning, for each one to be faithful, to keep going, to rise up in faith, and yes, to believe in hope against hope, and realize that you're making a way. You are making the way, and we will not give up, and we will keep going. We thank you that there's a stable for each one of us when the inn isn't open, and that it is by design you've created provision for us. Thank you, Lord, for that divine direction. We've done some things. We've pushed some buttons, pulled some levers. We've tried some things, and it turned out to really not be your plan. We're not going to be embarrassed. We're not going to get mad. We're going to just keep going and say, okay, we know that's not you. What else, Lord? What else is something? To have the humility to keep going and checking our heart, being true to the Spirit and going, you know, whether it's the Asia Minor or the Bithynia, but keep going until we find that Macedonian vision, till we find that knowing and going, to not give up, even if it gets messy. Father, we're not doing this to please men. We're not doing this to have impressive testimonies. We're doing this to follow your plan for our lives. We're down here to do what you call us to do. Father, help us to keep going. Where there is a voice calling, keep walking. You're not alone. Where there is faith, even if it's messy, faith. And that wherever we may feel separated from you, like we've lost you, oh, to know that you're in the same place. We don't have to wonder where you're going to show up this time. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's just a matter of us humbling our hearts and coming to that throne of grace and finding grace to help. Bearing our heart, casting our cares on you. You're there every time. Oh, we thank you for it. Thank you for helping us, taking us by the hand, navigating all the messes, but being with us at every single twist and turn of any mess. You're with us. You love us. You're for us. We thank you for it this morning. I just pray courage, hope, and strength for each one of us this morning. In every area of our life, we thank you that you are there, and we will not give up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.